And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your information flow. What does that mean, your information flow? Well, you get information from a lot of sources. You do. I do too. I mean, I'm no different than you. I put my pant legs on one leg at a time, just like you do. I get information. You get information. We all get information. But some of that information isn't as accurate as you would think it is. Now, on the surface, that information, it sounds legit, right? Like, for instance, I saw an article this morning on CNBC, and they were saying that mortgage refinance rates are up 60%. 60%. That's a pretty significant number in my world. A 60% increase in mortgage refinance rates. So what does that mean? Well, it means that there are people out there, for whatever reason, who have mortgages that believe that now is a good time to refinance those mortgages. Now, do you believe that to be true? Some of you believe that to be true. Some of you don't believe that to be true. What do I think? That's what you're wondering. You're wondering, what does Al think? Well, Al thinks it depends. It depends on the interest rate that you're looking to refinance. Now, one of the rules of thumb that I learned many, many years ago is that if you're looking to refinance a mortgage, now I'm talking about mortgages. I'm not talking about any other form of credit. I'm talking about mortgages. If you're looking to refinance a mortgage, you probably need to see the interest rate come down about 2 full points in order to make that mortgage refinance make sense from a financial standpoint. What do I mean by that? Well, here's what I mean. When you refinance a mortgage, there are costs associated with performing that refinance. There's loan origination fees. There's appraisal fees. There's title fees. Yeah, there's title fees because you have to push that process through an escrow process, and there may be title fees associated with doing that. There's certainly escrow fees. So there's costs associated with reducing that mortgage rate, or at least the interest rate, which ultimately does reduce your overall rate, because if you're paying less in interest, you're reducing your overall mortgage rate, right? Okay. What have mortgage rates actually done? Well, according to CNBC, mortgage interest rates have dropped to 6.26%. 6.26%. And a lot of you are thinking, wow, that's amazing, because I got an investor note at like 8%. Maybe this is the time for me to refinance. And I'm going to tell you, time out. Time out. Because I'm reporting what CNBC said. I have not told you that investor interest rates tend to be higher than what the owner-occupant rates are. Now, why is that? There's a couple of reasons. Number one, in the mortgage industry, they believe that loaning to investors is riskier. And part of the reason they believe it's riskier is because you don't live in the house. It's an investment for you. And that if things go belly up in the investment, you might just walk away. Whereas if you were an owner-occupant, it's harder to walk away because you're actually living in the property. So what's the difference in rates? Well, the difference in rates tend to be about 0.5% up to a full percent more for investor loans than for owner-occupant loans. Sweet spot being 0.75%. So what does that mean for you as a real estate investor? That means that the mortgage interest rate you would be competing for is probably right around that 7% rate.
All right, now check it out.
Everything that I'm looking at online is talking about how the Fed reduced the discount rate. Now, that's not the mortgage rate. That is something different. That kind of drives the entire mortgage industry, but the mortgage industry doesn't always follow what the discount rate does because it takes into account other things, other considerations, blah, 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 blah. The discount rate was reduced by 0.25%. That's 0.25%. So how has that affected the mortgage rates? Well, let me just give you an idea. Mortgage rates effective August of 2025 for investors were 7.25% on average. Today, they're effectively 7.01%. That is a 0.24%, not a 0.25, but a 0.24% reduction in pricing. Makes you think that what I said earlier didn't make sense, right? I said it doesn't always follow, but here's a pretty clear indication that the mortgage rates are chasing the discount rate. So what's the rest of the buzz in the media? The rest of the buzz in the media is centered around the fact that we're about ready to enter into the fourth quarter, not of a football game, but the fourth quarter of 2025. It's just around the corner. And when we enter into that fourth quarter, there is talk that the Fed might, and I'm going to use the word might, because they don't will, they might reduce the interest rates, the discount rate that is, two more times, two more rate reductions. So if that happens, now keep in mind, for the majority of 2025, everybody's been talking about, will the Fed reduce rates? And what did the Fed do? The Fed didn't reduce any rates. Not until now did they reduce rates. And then they only reduced them 0.25%. Now, I don't personally agree with Jerome Powell. I think he's off his rocker. That's my opinion. And I'm allowed to my opinions on this radio show. I think the interest rate should have reduced more. But again, this is America, and I'm entitled to my opinion. Just because it's my opinion doesn't mean that the Fed is going to do what Al wants them to do, or a bunch of investors want them to do, right? Okay, so if they reduce that interest rate two more times, the minimum they tend to reduce it is 0.25%. They could go higher. They could go a half point. They could go 0.75%. They could go a full point. I don't think there's a limit on what they can do. But this Fed has been overly conservative economically in their desire to help the American economy out. Now, I have some personal opinions. I don't really think that the Fed works for the American economy. I think they've lost focus of their mission. I think they're really working for the Mortgage Bankers Association and all these other entities out there that rely on interest rates and make their money off of interest. Yeah, that's what I think is going on. I think they're making decisions based on a handful of entities that benefit and make money off of higher interest rates. That's just my opinion. It may be totally wrong. And if you think it's wrong, you can shoot me an email at askal@luinc.com. That's askal@luinc.com. Tell me why I'm wrong. And you know what? You might change my opinion. I'm totally okay with my opinion being changed. She can change my opinion. That's my opinion. Now, if you want to support my hypothesis, you can also send me an email at askal@luinc.com. That's askal@luinc.com. And tell me I got it right. I'm sure I'm going to get emails from both sides of the fence. And I'm totally fine with getting emails from both sides of the fence. But your opinion, in my opinion, they don't change reality. They don't change reality in the least bit. What changes reality? The people that have the authority to control interest rates in our economy, those people. Yeah, those people. That's the people that create reality. And we get to live in it. So we've been the beneficiary of a quarter of a point interest rate. And CNBC is saying that mortgage refinances are up 60% since that rate cut happened. Now, if you have an investor loan, and let's say you got that investor loan sometime in the last couple of years, what is your interest rate that you're paying on that investor loan? Well, if we go back to September of 2023, investor interest rates were approximately 7.94%. Today, they're approximately 7.01%. So they're technically 0.93% lower than they were 2 years ago. Does it make sense for you to refinance the mortgage? Well, you got to do some financial calculations. You got to figure out, first of all, what the benefit is for you, because if there isn't a benefit to do it, you shouldn't do it. And just because the interest rate is lower doesn't mean that lower pricing is going to communicate to you and translate for you into a lower overall cost. Because as I pointed out in the previous segment, there are costs associated with refinancing a mortgage. There's escrow fees, there's loan origination fees. You might actually be paying loan discount points to get down to the mortgage rate you're trying to get to. So there's a lot of things that dial into that calculus that may or may not indicate that this is a good time to do that. So should you do it? My immediate knee-jerk reaction is don't do it. And I told you why. I told you earlier in the show that usually about a 2-point rate reduction is required in order to get the result you're looking for. And based on the information I've given you so far, you'd only go down, what, 0.93%, which is slightly less than 1%. So it may not make sense for you to refinance that deal. So is it doom and gloom? No, I don't think it's doom and gloom, because now think about when you bought that asset. When you bought that asset, you locked in your mortgage, you locked in your pricing, you locked in the majority of your costs. The two costs that you don't have control over are property taxes and insurance. Not a problem. But that mortgage, provided you didn't get a variable rate mortgage, that mortgage is locked in. When we come back from the break, more on whether it makes sense to refinance. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Working full-time but still falling behind? Learn how real estate education can help you build income and get ahead. On your terms, text RADIO to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007. Presented by Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your information flow. Yeah, your information flow. I'm stuffing information into your head. Now, some of you might be resisting the information stuffing. Maybe you don't like it. Maybe you're just not into it. Some of you're glued to the radio dial, right? You're like, yeah, tell me more. Let's get to the point now, Al. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to get more into whether or not it makes sense for you to refinance a loan right now. And it depends on a lot of factors. It depends on the interest rate that you acquired when you locked in your loan. Now, if you locked in your loan, say 2 years ago, when the interest rate was a bit higher, does it make sense for you to refinance that loan today? Well, let's take a look at a few key things. Number one, we believe that the mortgage interest rate for investors, not for owner-occupants, but for investors, was 7.94% 2 years ago, effectively today. Effective today, now that the Fed has actually cut the discount rate, which is affecting the mortgage rates are following, that interest rate is 7.01% for investors. Now, you might be able to get a better interest rate because maybe you've got a really good credit rating, or you've got a really good debt-to-income ratio, or you've got some very good factors which benefit you. You might be able to get an interest rate closer to like 6.75. Or maybe the opposite's true. Maybe your credit rating isn't that good. Maybe you've got a higher debt-to-income ratio. Maybe some of the other factors that the mortgage industry looks at don't benefit you. And maybe your rate is closer to 7.25 or 7.26 or whatever it might be. What I'm getting at is the only way for you to know how you will stack up for a mortgage interest rate as an investor is to actually talk to a mortgage lender. Yeah, I'm serious. So why would you do that? Well, if you're an active investor, you've already got a relationship with one or more mortgage entities. Maybe you're like me and you use a mortgage broker. And I love my mortgage broker. My mortgage broker always gives me the best deals possible. And the reason they do it is because they're shopping multiple entities. So instead of me shopping multiple entities, they're shopping multiple entities. The point is this: the fee that mortgage broker charges is worth it to me because I get better rates than if I just applied individually. And if I just applied individually, I'd be making a lot of applications, which could affect my credit rating, because if I've got 10 different entities pulling my credit, it's probably going to make an impact on my credit score, which I don't want to have happen. So using that mortgage broker makes more sense to me. Now, should you refinance that note from 7.94 down to 7.01? And the short answer is, it depends. I know I keep saying that to you. I'm probably driving you crazy, right? Well, it depends on other factors. It depends on how long you plan to hold that asset. If you originated that loan 2 years ago, you've already owned the asset for 2 years. You would have plugged in your mind, a holding period for the asset. That holding period might be 2 years, in which case it's time for you to sell. Maybe you don't think the market is attractive to you to sell, so maybe you've extended the holding period for another year. Does it make sense to refinance if you're only going to hold for another year? No, it really doesn't. Because again, it goes back to those fees that are charged by the lenders and the brokers and the escrow companies, which add to your cost of the mortgage. It actually affects your, what do they call it? The API, I don't know what the technical term is. But when you consider those costs in relation to the refinance and the benefit you get from saving on interest with the refinance, it doesn't benefit you. You shouldn't do it. What if you're going to hold the asset for a total of 5 years? That means 3 more years. Well, maybe it's beneficial to you to refinance that note. But as we pointed out earlier in the show, the Fed, hypothetically, I mean, this is what everybody in the media believes, the Fed will reduce interest rates 2 more times in the next quarter. So do you pull the trigger now and do a refinance, or do you wait another 90 days to see if the interest rate will come down more? Because if the interest rate comes down, say, another 0.5% or possibly a full point or even more, does that change the calculus? And it totally changes the calculus in your favor. But I don't think you should be hung up on whether or not you need to refinance the property. I know it seems attractive to you. I know that you get caught up in the media buzz, but you have to understand the finances. You have to understand what that refinance will do for you in the bigger picture. And it may not make sense for you to refinance. What might make more sense is for you to sell the asset and buy a replacement asset or two at a lower interest rate. Oh, you didn't think about that, did you? Yeah, because here's the point. When you become a real estate investor, you don't get married to your assets. You change them out as it makes sense. If an asset is not performing as well as it did when you bought it, that's a pretty good indication that it's time to eliminate that asset. Now, does that mean the follow-on assets that you would acquire will not perform as well? Not at all, because they have different factors impacting their profitability. They have different factors that impact your investment decisions. And here's what I'm seeing in the marketplace. There's a lot of really good deals out there. So, I mean, if you're thinking, wow, if I refinance, my cash flow might go up $50. Yeah, except your equity might go down several thousand dollars because of the costs associated with doing the refinance. Or your cash balance might go down several thousand dollars because of the costs associated with doing the refinance. Because you can't always take the costs associated with doing the refinance and wrap them into the mortgage itself. They have different rules, different conditions on what you can and cannot do. So think it through. This is a really good, if you're a Lifestyles Unlimited member and you're listening to this and you're scratching your head, this is a really good topic to raise with your mentor. And if you're not a Lifestyles Unlimited member, now's a really good time to join. All right, so now keep in mind, if you bought the property correctly, in other words, you bought it the way we teach you to do it at Lifestyles Unlimited, you would have captured equity in the asset. What does that mean, captured equity in the asset? It means that there's a certain amount of equity that you would have gained. We call it an unrealized capital gain, because you would have bought at wholesale pricing. You would have rehabbed while staying in wholesale pricing. You would have refinanced while staying in wholesale pricing. Yet that asset would have commanded a retail price for the property. The difference between those two, that all-in wholesale price and that retail price, in other words, what you could sell it for the next day if you chose to, that's additional equity that you have in the asset. You add that to whatever cash you contributed to the property, and that's total equity. For some of you, that's a lot of money. For some of you, it might be time to tap into that money and realize that capital gain. So refinancing, whatever you save in refinancing, to me, is kind of immaterial if it's really time for you to harvest that asset and pull all that captured equity out, plus any additional equity that you've gained through principal reduction, natural appreciation, et cetera, et cetera. Selling your asset after 2 years or 3 years or 5 years is a viable exit strategy. And here's why. One of the things that we teach you, and those of you that are Lifestyles Unlimited members, you know this already. So this is for those of you that are not currently Lifestyles Unlimited members. One of the things that we will teach you is to go into the asset and fix or repair or replace anything that can go wrong in the next 5 years within that property. We're talking about all the systems that support the property: HVAC, plumbing, electrical, foundation, roof, blah, blah, blah. When you fix or repair or replace anything that could go wrong in the next 5 years, what are the chances that those things are going to go wrong in the next 5 years? Very slim. I mean, there's always a possibility, right? But the reality of it is, if you caught everything up front, if you corrected it all up front, if you put the right replacement stuff in, or you fixed it correctly to give it a 5-year lifespan from the time you repaired it, it should last 5 years, right? So let's say you've owned the asset for 2 years. Have you had to repair anything? Maybe yes, maybe no. How about if you owned it for 3 years? Maybe yes, maybe no. What if you've owned it for 5 years? Well, now things might start breaking, right? So maybe it's time for you to get out of that asset. And here's the other thing that I want to tell you about interest rates that has no bearing on your desire to refinance. But if the interest rates go down in the fourth quarter, like they did this last week, you're going to be able to buy at a lower interest rate. Boom. You already get the lower interest rate because the interest rates are lower than what you paid a couple years ago. Here's the other thing that you may not have calculated into the overall formula. As interest rates go down, the buying power for people that are sitting on the sidelines in the market gets better. They can afford a higher priced property when the interest rate goes down, because that's just the way the math works. So there's more available buyers for the asset that you're considering selling. And what do a lot of first-time home buyers buy? They buy assets that are used, that are on the market, that are in good shape. But some of you think, well, wait a minute, Al, you've discussed on this radio show that it tends to be a buyer's market. Yeah, it has been a buyer's market for a while. But if interest rates reduce down, more buyers come into the market, it may start shifting not to a full-blown seller's market, but away from being a buyer's market and more of a neutral market. This is still a really good time for you because you're going to want to dispose of the one asset, capture all that equity, I mean, realize all that equity is what you're going to do, and then use that equity to buy multiple assets on the other side. And if it's still technically a buyer's market when you're looking to buy, that benefits you. If it's a kind of a stable or neutral market, that still tends to benefit you. If it becomes a seller's market, you might start thinking, well, wait a minute, I should have waited until it was a seller's market. Okay, here's the point. You're going to be a seller and you're going to be a buyer. Is it better for you to be a seller in a seller's market and then try and buy multiple assets in a seller's market? Or is it better to do that in a buyer's market or maybe a neutral market? I think it's better for you to do it in a buyer's market and a neutral market because you're looking to replace multiple assets. I'm just saying, that's just the way it is. Here's the point I want to make. You have opportunity. You have a lot of opportunity starting to unfold in front of you. This is the time you need to start looking at your assets and figuring out how long you want to hold the assets for. Because this may be a perfect moment for you. Now, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not mentoring you on the airwaves. What I'm trying to do is get you to think through the scenario. Think through the process. This might be a very good time for you to liquidate assets that you've held that might have higher interest rates than what prevailing mortgage interest rates are, and then take advantage of the lower interest rates as you go into the buying process. Now, you're not going to be able to sell the asset overnight. It takes some time to sell unless you're in a hardcore seller's market, which we're not. We're more of a buyer's market, moving maybe to a neutral market. That's just my opinion. So it might be a good time for you to get the property on the market or consider where you are in the lease process, because if you've got a lease on the asset and that lease is longer than 90 days, then maybe you need to consider not selling to a new buyer or somebody looking to buy a vacant property in your particular marketplace. Maybe this is a good time to sell to another investor that wants to take advantage of the lower interest rates that are coming around. Does that make sense? And then they'll let them worry about whether they refinance in the future. At that point, you're out of the asset, and then you're looking to buy. And chances are, by the time you get around to looking to buy, the interest rates may have come down even more. See, this is part of the knowledge base and the information that you tuned into this radio show to get. I'm here specifically to get you to think about how this real estate investing works. And more importantly, I'm here to help you understand that real estate investing might be the vehicle you need in order to change the roadmap that you're currently on. Now, I became a member of Lifestyles Unlimited about 8 years ago. I followed the roadmap. I took advantage of techniques like we're talking about right now, and it benefited me greatly. I was able to retire myself with the passive income that comes from real estate investing, and I'm not looking back. You could do the same. I'm not telling you you will do the same. I'm just telling you you could do the same. And in order to facilitate that, the best thing for you to do is to become a member of Lifestyles Unlimited so we can give you the entire roadmap. We can show you exactly how it benefits you and what you need to do in order to action the roadmap and ultimately get yourself to a place of retirement. If you want to do what I'm doing, you want to do what the members of Lifestyles Unlimited are doing, go to lifestylesunlimited.com. When you get there, click on the Start Here button and let's get you going.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.